The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to be welcoming back my good friend Dr. Eric Colston. I'm going to bring up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes. Hello, Andy. Good to be with you.
Hello, Eric. Great to be with you as always. And what I'm going to start off with, because as you know, these shows with Eric, Eric largely produces these himself. We've got some great tracks to play you, some songs, and we've got one of Eric's musical narrations as well that he gets so much into, and I really appreciate him for that. There's no other guest I know that does that work beforehand, and it's very, very useful to the show. But I've got a little piece. There's a Gilad Atzmon article that was sent over to me. Well, I think I might have found it on Jeff Rentz's site, actually, rentz.com, good source for news. The website's Gilad Online, and the article's called "A Viral Pandemic or a Crime Scene?" And it's quite a lengthy article, so I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read the last part. And Gilad writes, "As soon as the coronavirus became the new disaster, Danny Shoham, a former Israeli military intelligence officer, was quick to point to China's biowarfare program as a possible originator of the virus. By now, with the exception of President Trump and his Pompeo character, not many are convinced that COVID-19 is a Chinese virus, as Trump refers to it when he wants to annoy progressives. A criminal investigation would have to examine Chinese as well as Russian, British, French, German, etc. laboratories and their safety records. It should also verify whether Danny Shoham had any evidence for his assertion regarding China, or whether he was attempting to divert attention from another possible suspect in this corona affair. Israel, with its extensive biological warfare laboratories and WMD facilities, must also be subject to thorough scrutiny. During his first term as Israel's leader, Mr. Netanyahu authorized a risky attempt to assassinate the Palestinian rising star and Hamas leader, Mr. Khaled Mashal, in the Jordanian capital Amman. Five Mossad agents posing as Canadian tourists were sent to Amman. They ambushed Mr. Mashal on a street corner and sprayed poison into his left ear and expected him to die within 48 hours. But their plan went wrong. One of Mashal's bodyguards chased the two Mossad agents who had carried out the operation and, with the help of a passing Palestinian Liberation Army officer, managed to capture them. Instead of escaping over the border as they had planned, the rest of the Mossad team were trapped in the Israeli embassy in Amman. Mr. Netanyahu was left with no option other than to negotiate with King Hussein of Jordan and plead for his assassin's return. The king, who was dying of cancer, drove a hard bargain. Israel had to supply immediately the antidote to the poison that was killing Mr. Mashal. Netanyahu also had to agree to release 9 Jordanians and 61 Palestinian prisoners, amongst them Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the spiritual leader of Hamas, and at the time, Israel's most hated foe. But here is the astonishing piece of this saga. The poison used by Israel is a slow-acting but lethal poison that gradually shuts down the brain's respiratory centre, leading to death. The doctor that revived Mashal described his condition as respiratory oxygen deficiency. To date, it is not clear what type of agent was used by the Mossad against Mashal, but a few facts are known. Israel employed a biological chemical agent with a respiratory effect. Israel possessed the antidote to its lethal agent. Benjamin Netanyahu, as Israeli PM, authorised the botched assassination and the usage of a biological chemical weapon. He concludes by saying, Israel is not a signatory to the Biological Weapons Convention. It is generally assumed that the Israel Institute for Biological Research in Nes Ziona develops vaccines and antidotes for chemical and biological warfare. In 2012, Haaretz wrote of the Nes Ziona laboratory that it's an institution that very rarely finds itself in the news, and when it does, it's usually because of some controversy or other. According to Israeli sources, the institute develops pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, treatments and antibodies to protect Israelis from chemical or biological weapons. That's along with its civilian research projects. Haaretz continues, according to foreign reports, it also develops chemical and biological weapons. One of these reports said Institute scientists had developed the poison that was meant to have eliminated Hamas political leader Khaled Mashal in the botched Mossad attack against him in Amman in 1997. Any detectives who examine the Nes Ziona lab will have to figure out how the Israeli Institute is already so advanced in the development of a COVID-19 vaccine. According to the Israeli press, a novel coronavirus vaccine is already being tested at the Institute. Nes Ziona is not alone at the front of the corona vaccine race. Migal, another Israeli company, announced at the end of February that it was almost ready with a vaccine. Detectives should ascertain whether Migal, like other laboratories around the world, is a safe environment and that it wasn't in the Galilee laboratory that a tiny but vicious virus escaped its guardians. Foreign Policy magazine revealed 3 weeks ago that the coronavirus early appearance in Iran that sickened government and military leaders caused some Iranian officials to believe that the coronavirus was part of an American Zionist biofair military campaign against their republic and its leaders. I am not in any position to produce incriminating evidence against any person, institution or estate. It isn't my job, nor is it my wish to do so. I am a writer, not a detective. Yet I maintain that evaluating the corona crisis as a crime, may make those who plan to survive the pandemic feel a little safer in a world that long ago has lost its way. That was a bit more lengthy than I thought, Eric. What are your thoughts? And then take us into the first thing you want to cover on the show.
Could you just tell me when this person wrote that?
Well, this was Gilad April the 11th, so only 3-4 days ago.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days ago. Yeah, I think he's describing the world that we live in, you know, which is controlled by intelligence agencies and black operations to a very large extent. And, you know, you and I have done, well, gosh, 43 interviews now, and we can put that as a link to that. And much of what we have talked about really sets the stage, I think, for what is happening now in the world, which is a horrific series of developments, actually. And what I wanted to discuss is that I think the last several discussions we've had have been on this topic that we sometimes refer to as gang stalking. I call it a global government gang stalking genocide Gestapo. This also involves electronic torture and mind control and directed energy weapons and neuroweapons and all kinds of things. And it's a program that's been tested on civilians, gosh, since the 50s, coming out of the CIA's MK Ultra mind control experiments on how to control people in various ways. And targeted individuals have been there, you know, non-consenting human guinea pigs. And they have tried every way to control individuals remotely. Most people could not imagine the technologies that have been developed in these black projects over the past 70 years. In fact, it's phenomenal what occurred back in the 40s and 50s, which is, there's been a pretty much of a blackout in the press. But in an open society, this information is available. And I have put much of this information together and on my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which now has nearly 1,300 posts, Sandy. And I have researched the, and I'm a former geography professor, spent 30 years being a geography professor, but in my retirement years since 2011, I have kept researching and trying and changed my focus to the things that I thought were most important for all of us. Basically saying, okay, I'm not just part of this institution. I'm part of the world, and education is my you know, that's who I am. That's what I do. And so I will continue in that capacity. And that's what I do, and that's what I've done. Trying to bring information that bears upon our situations. So, yeah, we've done a lot of work and discussed these, and they're on my website. I can send a link. All our previous interviews, we've talked about the mafia states. We've talked about all of the things leading up to this. And what I'd like to talk about now, today, is how I've got even an article that we can put up. It's COVID-19 medical martial law and global gang stalking operations are both part of hybrid war against civilians. And you could also substitute the word electronic concentration camp for hybrid war, because hybrid war has many aspects. Biological war that you referred to there in the reading, certainly an element, but we're dealing with hybrid war, which is very, very complex. And well, what do you expect? Since World War II, the United States taxpayers have spent more money on the military-industrial complex than all other sectors of the economy combined. So the military-industrial complex has garnered the best and the brightest scientists and the most money, and they have figured out in innumerable ways to control, kill, incapacitate human beings. Always the, you know, all this is all coming out of the Cold War, which is war by other means. And so, you know, that World War II warriors just morphed right into the Cold War, kept doing what they were doing, all these covert operations, these black operations. But now they incorporated the science element as much as they could and got the very, and that's why we've had so much fake science. Including the COVID-19 fake science. There's a very good talk by a guy named Dr. Shiva Ayudari, which is quite good. He's got a YouTube saying, coronavirus fraud, we are at war, fire Dr. Fauci, end the shutdown. We need to get back to work, and because we're just voluntarily destroying our own economies, or are we acquiescing to destroying our own civilization, and to put ourselves in our own personal electronic concentration camps because they have these technologies, 4G, 5G, and other weaponized frequencies that can reach into our homes and incapacitate us and modify us and kill us. In fact, these non-lethal weapons can go lethal. So that's an introduction. Maybe we should jump into the first of our cuts here, Andy, and give a little more information about the gang stalking program from a book by Mark M. Rich, The Hidden Evil, which I think came out first around 2011 or maybe it was 2008. But this guy put together a couple excellent books about gang stalking global operations. And now this is all very, 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 very pertinent because this is coming. It's going global.
Absolutely, Eric. Okay, well, I'll mute us both, and here, folks, is Structure and Goals of the Hidden Evil.
From The Hidden Evil, the Financial Elite's Covert War Against the Civilian Population, by Mark M. Rich, 2008. The New American reported in October of 2002 that there was an attempt to create a colossal civilian security force, which was used in communist Russia and all totalitarian regimes. Quote, realizing that a cowed and brainwashed populace can carry out surveillance better than a million trained agents, communist tyrants from East Germany to Cuba created revolutionary circles, youth groups, and other organizations specifically to enable the party faithful in every walk of life to police everybody else. End quote. In May 2003, the Boston Globe described how a national informant program was poised to recruit 100 million citizens. That would be about one-third of the population, which means it surpassed the percentage of the population used by the East German government. The program will, quote, dwarf the citizen informer programs of the most repressive totalitarian states, making them appear amateurish by comparison, they wrote. Most of the citizen informant programs previously mentioned are now organized under a National Neighborhood Watch program, known as USA on Watch. Quote, USA on Watch is the face of the National Neighborhood Watch program, end quote, declared the Citizen Corps website. It is managed by the National Sheriff's Association, NSA, and Department of Justice, DOJ. The National Neighborhood Watch program has existed since the late 1960s. This helps explain reports of people being gang-stalked by citizens since the early 1980s. Neighborhood Watch is now part of Citizen Corps, which is run by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, under the Department of Homeland Security, DHS. So in essence, USA on Watch is a DHS program. This means FEMA, DHS, and FBI, and local police are working directly with the state and local governments to coordinate these operations. Again, we find another parallel with the Russian and East German dictatorships. The NSA exclaimed, "The Neighborhood Watch is homeland security at the most local level. It was created to, quote, empower citizens to become directly involved with Neighborhood Watch for the purpose of homeland security," end quote. Its targets, according to the NSA, are criminals and domestic terrorists. Marcus Wolf, former East German executive Stasi officer and later co-architect of DHS, says that targeted people were surrounded by large numbers of citizens who, quote, literally encircled their everyday movements, end quote. According to Wolf, the residences of these people were, quote, put under siege, end quote, and even family members and visitors were kept under close observation. Even some East German politicians were, quote, surrounded by unofficial informers for the Stasi, proclaimed Mary Fulbrook in her book, The People's State. According to Loren Murray and former intelligence officer Julianne McKinney, this program includes the military and federal agencies such as the CIA, DOD, DOE, and FBI. These global operations are run by the various intelligence agencies, agrees Dr. Ronnie Kilda, author of Bright Light on Black Shadows. The surveillance is apparently justified by a bogus investigation that never ends. According to the Citizen Corps Guide for Local Officials, each community has a Citizen Corps Council composed of representatives from law enforcement, fire, and EMT services, faith-based groups, community-based groups, elderly and minority populations, transportation systems, utility companies, businesses, educational institutions, and the media. Basically, they recruit people from all pillars of the community. It is run by the Department of Homeland Security, which works with state and local governments. This means that high-ranking elected officials, as well as federal and local law enforcement, are fully aware of this program and are donating significant resources to it. To recruit regular citizens to perform nefarious acts such as staged accidents and framings, these agents can scan for certain qualities in an informant database consisting of literally millions of people in order to select certain individuals or groups. Then, these informants who have no official ties to the government can be co-opted into a staged event for reasons of national security. These factions represent the true underlying psychopathic nature of the program. Based on my research, the public front is simply a facade used to recruit the public into a very cleverly disguised program of torture and murder. In a January 2007 issue of the Washington Post, Dr. Colonel John Alexander stated that directed energy or non-lethal weapons should be used to electronically neuter people. In his article, New Weapons for a New World War, he wrote, "The United States must be able to protect national interests and values, even in ambiguous circumstances." The hidden evil is being used by the financial elite to covertly destroy their existing and potential enemies while they install a worldwide tyrannical dictatorship. According to former intelligence officer Julianne McKinney, in her 1992 report, the pattern of directed energy attacks and gang stalking is the same all over the world. "I'm certain that this program is being used to silently neutral all people that the New World Order believes will be troublesome to their rule. In particular, this includes intelligent, independent, free-thinking, incorruptible nonconformists." The U.S. and other NATO countries are covert socialist states with a democratic republic frontage. Although we've been led to believe that communism and fascism are opposites, both are on the same end of the spectrum, which is a socialist totalitarian rule. In practice, socialism consists of a military police state, heavy surveillance, persecution, and concentration camps. Germany and Russia are prime historical examples. The control mechanisms in Russia, which included the targeting of the civilian population, was only made possible by the citizens who stalked and harassed people in public. The KGB's success, added McKinney, quote, "depended on the extensive use of informant networks and agents provocateurs," unquote. In June of 2003, the New American reported, quote, "every unfortunate society saddled with a police state has used citizen informants who play the most important role in enforcing conformity to the ruling elite's will," end quote. The primary purpose for this network of citizens and the accompanying directed energy weapons attacks is to terrorize any opposition to the financial elite's rule. Based on her research and observations as a targeted individual, former intelligence officer Julianne McKinney stated, "I think that once full control is established over a major percentage of the population, and enough of the population is silent and unwilling to stick their necks out, that we inevitably would be heading toward a Holocaust." There has been a tremendous increase in these activities worldwide in recent years. The same patterns of attacks are found all over the world. Most people, however, are unaware that they are being swarmed by citizens and attacked with directed energy weapons. Dr. Kilda reported, "they are already in every apartment block." These citizen informant networks are a portion of the population that the financial elite needed to recruit in order to install a global dictatorship. These people are literally the instruments of their own enslavement. Final quotes from Dr. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister, said, "whoever can control the street will one day conquer the state, for every form of political power and any dictator-run state has its roots in the street." And finally, from Protocol Number 17 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, written about 1900, "in our program, one-third of our subjects will keep the rest under observation from a sense of duty, on the principle of volunteer service to the state. It will then be no disgrace to be a spy and informer."
Fascinating information as always, Eric, very well put together there. Anything else that you'd like to add to that?
Well, you know, there is a tremendous amount of information in that, and I would suggest people might want to listen to it again to get the nuances. But just off the cuff, that is my first piano piece. I invented that song back around when I was 30, and I taught myself to play the piano. And then I put out three piano CDs since. I started with guitar when I was 13, and And because I love music, I just moved right over to the piano and started picking things out by ear. So that was my first piano song. Quite proud of it. I called it Opus One. Now, on a more sober note, I mean, he describes exactly what is involved here. And my premise is that what we have here is nested operations, and that the G5 or the global gang stalking, global government gang stalking, genocide Gestapo operation, which we've been talking about and which this this narration addresses, is rolling seamlessly right into the COVID-19 medical martial law, and that we will see this network of citizen spies and citizen snitches will be deployed. See, they're already harnessed. They're already in a chain of command with their little cell phone apps, and they can be instructed. So it's very, very confusing. This is the world of a TI. You don't know this person is in plain clothes, and yet they're not acting like a normal person. In fact, they're in a chain of command. They are commanded to harass you or to do this, that, and the other. And so it's not like you're dealing with a real human being. You're dealing with somebody who is actually a soldier, someone who is at war with you. And of course, this is very overwhelming, and many TIs succumb, commit suicide, which is one of the main goals, or go crazy and themselves lash out and become shooters or whatever. All of these, pretty much all of these quote unquote terrorist acts are by these targeted individuals who have been driven to desperation and mind control to carry out these crimes. So the intelligence agencies, and I'll just lump them in with the CIA, although Mossad, CIA, MI6, they all work together all over the world now. They have come up with over the last century tremendous tools for controlling, manipulating, killing individuals, and I've studied this with the history of mind control, which is on my websites as well. So, of course, we who many, many intelligent people in our societies who have, you know, been working away and, you know, trying to succeed and coming home and watching TV, they would not know any of this, chances are, because there was no time in their lives to devote to studying these things. And yet the record is there. And this is why I have 1,300 posts on my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. And I've got, I guess, about half that many on my 911nwo.com website. My naturalclimatechange.org website talks about that fraud. So we're living in a world of lies and frauds that are designed by intelligence agencies like the CIA for the ruling elite, the financial cabal, which is a mafia syndicate. And of course, satanically energized at all levels. And so all these programs, unfortunately, are satanically energized. And now we're seeing all these Jewish billionaires come to the fore. And this is the tribe. This is the different species of predatory psychopaths, I believe, on the planet, which wants to take over everything. Bill Gates is coming and telling us, you know, what we all have to have. We all have to have a vaccine now to protect ourselves. And we have to have, you know, we have to have a chip actually put into our bloodstream with nanotech so that they can track us and control us, and so that we can buy and sell. This is the mark of the beast. And these are Satan's people, as Jesus told us in John 8:44 and other chapters and other segments of the Bible. This is the takeover of planet Earth by the sons and daughters of Satan, by the serpent people, in my opinion. And I think there's an enormous amount of evidence to back that up. Would you want to go to the next cut there, Andy?
Yes, we can, Eric. The next cut that we've got for you, folks. About what I
get myself in trouble here.
No. We can go to the next cut. That's called Soldier's Lament. So I'll mute us both again, and here we go, folks.
On August 20th, 2013, Marine Corps Colonel Peter Martino gave this testimony at a Concord, New Hampshire town council meeting. What's happening here is that we're building a domestic military because it's unlawful or unconstitutional to use American troops on American soil. My best friend, who's a SWAT officer in Nashua, who came to Iraq with me to train the Iraqi police, sent me an email with a picture of him in the media on the streets of Watertown, Massachusetts, wearing the exact same combat gear that we had in Iraq, only it was a different color. And the way that we do things in the military, it's called task organization. You take a command and then you attach units to it in order to accomplish the mission. What's happening is that Homeland Security is pre-staging gear, equipment. They're trying to use standardized vehicles, standardized equipment. I saw a picture in the Boston Globe during the marathon bombing where there was a state police officer. Actually, there were two officers. They both had identical helmets, flak jackets, weapons, everything I wore in Iraq, only it was all in blue. The officer on one side had a big patch on his back that said, Massachusetts State Police. Another officer next to him, his patch said Boston Police. So what we're doing here, and let's not kid about it, we're building a domestic army, and we're shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its own citizens. We're building an army over here, and I can't believe that people aren't seeing it. Is everybody blind? The following statement was made by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, former five-star general in World War II, in his farewell speech on January 17, 1961. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of an unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security more than the net income of all United States corporations. This conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together. Akin to and largely responsible for the sweeping changes in our industrial military posture has been the technological revolution during recent decades. In this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. We must be alert to the danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite. And in his 1933 book, War is a Racket, and a related speech, retired Brigadier General Smedley D. Butler, U.S. Marine Corps, America's most highly decorated soldier, stated, I spent 33 years in the Marines, most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. Every war which Americans have fought or may fight in the future outside their own continental boundaries has been, or will be, a racket. A mean, cruel, yes, filthy racket. During our participation in the World War, World War I, our soldiers thought they were fighting to defend their homes, to make the world safe for democracy. We're fighting a war to end wars. Rot. Pure, unadulterated, sickening rot. War is largely a matter of money. Bankers lend the money to foreign countries, and when they cannot pay, the president sends Marines to get it. Why don't those damned oil companies fly their own flags on their personal property? Maybe a flag with a gas pump on it. I believe in adequate defense at the coastline and nothing else.
Interesting words there from Smedley Butler. Of course, isn't it funny how he says that he only believes in adequate defence at the coastline, and America's borders have been left wide open while they've been fighting wars all around the world, so for arguably other nations. So they don't seem to care about their own self-defence, but they want to go out and be mercenaries for someone else. Another great narration, Eric.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, of course, the late Congressman James Traficant, you know, put it quite bluntly before he was offed that America is Israel's whore. And, of course, all our wars have been to advance the cause of greater Israel over the last 20 years since 9/11 and even before. But, yeah, I would just mention on that last cut there, the song is called Angels Lament. I wrote that, I don't know exactly when, but I recorded it back in the late 90s. And it has the distinction, I think, in my mind, of being the perfect cut. I was given the opportunity to play a gigantic, beautiful Bösendorfer and Steinway concert grand pianos at the University of Wyoming, where I was a adjunct professor at the time. And had some connections there, I guess. And they let me use the concert hall. And so I would play my songs. And did not have the capacity or capability of editing, so I had to get them perfect. And most of them, you know, there's a little glitch here, there's a little glitch there. That one's perfect, and it's rare in life to hit something that's perfect. And so I just thought I'd throw that out here since we could be in the last days, seems like. Yeah, in regards to that, you know, I've got a cut or article that I would like to send you also. Maybe we can put it with the notes. It's called Neuroweapons, Dark Network Supply Chains, The Manhunting Business, which is gang stalking, and Hybrid Warfare, presentation by Dr. James Canton. Video transcription and my commentary. This is somebody sent me a YouTube video called Jews Behind Gang Stalking and Cuba China Embassy Attacks, Declaration of War on U.S. Citizens. It's by on BitChute. So I went through it, and it's very kind of helter-skelter video, just paste, cutting and pasting. But in there, they give talks by four neuroscientists, including Dr. James Canton, about the attacks on the diplomats, American diplomats in the Cuban and Chinese embassies with neuroweapons and electronic weapons, which have been used, of course, against targeted individuals for generations now, and which are going to be deployed, I think, against anyone that the government decides to target. And this is what Dr. James Canton actually referred to as the manhunting business. He talked about the dark network supply chains that support it and the neuroweapons that are being used. And he said, hey, neuro is the new cyber. In other words, a tremendous investment opportunity. There's a lot of money in this war business and in killing business. He identified in a slide, a 10-year-old slide, he said, what neuroweapons are quote unquote apparently legal. In other words, they've fudged the laws to make it possible for the military to use these weapons. And in terms of conflicts, the following are apparently legal, basically relating to psychological warfare, dysfunctionality stuff, rendering lack of capacity, acoustic weaponry, etc. I'm quoting him now. And then the slide says microwave RF radio frequency anti-functional and anti-personnel weaponry, 2 chemical anti-functional weaponry, 3 chemical psychological effects via sensory organs weaponry, smell, etc. 4 chemical personnel incapacitation weaponry, non-warfare, hostage terrorism only. 5, psy war, psychological warfare. 6, acoustic weaponry. 7, mechanical micro dust. Okay, so these are the some of the neuroweapons, some of the major classes of neuroweapons that are being rolled out against and were used in these operations against the Cuban diplomats at the Cuban embassy and the Chinese embassy. By someone, no one really claimed responsibility. But then there were all kinds of tests on the victims, and they were taken out. They were incapacitated. They had to go home. They can no longer work. They're called the soft neuroweapons or soft non-lethal weapons. Hard versions, of course, would kill. These incapacitate. So they're not so much interested now in killing as just incapacitating. So they're out of the game now. Those people can't go back to work. So this is what we can expect now from our friendly neighborhood military industrial complex while we are incarcerated in our own homes, if we perhaps have a low social credit score or some equivalent thereof. So I'm gonna slip this link to you here. Neuroweapons, dark network supply chains, manhunting business, and hybrid warfare presentation by Dr. James Canton. The people can watch him make this talk. They can look at my transcription of what he said, and then they can also read my commentary on this. This is the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Dr. James Canton is the CEO and founder of a company called Global Link, and he is the guy who sits there and briefs and advises the Joint Chiefs of Staff and governments and politicians and, of course, corporations. So here's the kind of the parasitic, if you will, parasitic instigator. And he's saying things like, oh, our main enemy now is failure, lack of imagination. 9-1-1 was a lack of imagination. We've got to have lots of imagination to make new weapons to, kill people and incapacitate them. And these are the people that have been commanding a huge sector of our taxpayer money. Dr. James Giordano is also on this thing. He's a neuroscientist at Georgetown, and he's the guy who I've got him on a couple of videos, and I've transcribed these on my website, in which he said we are targeting certain individuals to be representative of other groups and blah, 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 blah. So they, he's confessing that they are targeting individuals. And yet the American public has remained docile, ignorant, incapacitated in its own way through propaganda. What can I say? There's been a psychotic break between what average people think about what's happening in the world and what's really happening in the world. I mean, they're given all this nonsense on TV, Trump said and Hillary said, and look what Trump did, and look what Hillary did. Well, this is what's really going on. What's really going on is the building up of this vast army of citizen spies, which is now functioning all over the world and ready to, pound us and chase us back into our homes or come and get us. Whatever, they're in a chain of command. They're in a military chain of command.
Yes,
did you have any comment on that, Andy?
Well, I was just going to quickly ask, just out of interest, because I used to do things with music, piano, guitar when I was younger, not anywhere near your level, but I always had the problem of trying to, I think this is why I walked away from it, I got so bored of trying to record things and keep making mistakes and what have you. But firstly, what in your opinion is the best grand piano out there? You mentioned Steinway. I think that's the one that they most talk about as being the best. Firstly, that question, and then can you let people know where you actually have a website where people can get your music? I think that would be very interesting for people.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I had the access to this concert hall at the University of Wyoming in Laramie. And the first, my first go at it, I used a 9-foot Steinway, which is, European and fabulous. And then the next 2 sessions, I was able to do it for 3 times. I used a Bösendorfer, which is 10-foot. and it's got a slightly darker sound, preferable to some, you know, so it's a matter of taste. But these are incredible instruments. And I have three piano CDs of my own compositions that can be accessed. I think my store is down right now because I'm not good at computers. But if people can go to ericcarlstrom.com and look and see what they are. And if they can get in touch with me, I can send you. I mean, we're facing the end times here, I think. You know, I don't expect big sales. I expect a full lockdown, and I expect to be, you know, drug out of my house pretty soon by the powers that be. But you never know. So, you know, you keep praying to God and rowing to shore, you know, and keep your integrity. This looks very, very bad, you know, and this is a con like everything else. Global warming was a con. 9/11 was a con. This COVID, as I call it, 19 is a con. I just wanted to mention another article that I put up there is called Promise Palantir, Carbine 911, and Prominent Jews and Israeli Military Intelligence Operatives Behind Gang Stalking, the Manhunting Business, per Whitney Webb's articles. And I've put her articles up there and put my commentary. And then I threw in an epigraph, a quote at the beginning, one of the comments to her articles, which are quite good and give a lot of detail about which actual Israelis and Jews are involved at what levels, and you get all the, you know, mega billionaires are involved in this, Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, and right down the list. I mean, these are our new emperors, you know. But here's what targeted individual said to one of Whitney Webb's articles. Said, you guys profess to be for truth and fearless reporters, but you have yet to write about targeted individuals dubbed non-investigative subjects on the terror watch list. These individuals are non-consensual subjects in DARPA, DOD brain and weapons experiments, and are being tortured often for revenge purposes. Barr, our attorney general, only unveiled and designed his pre-crime program after U.S. Judge Trenga rules the terrorist watch list unconstitutional last September. All these people being non-consensually experimented on, who have already been discredited by corrupt physicians and shrinks, and who are already under surveillance in their homes for experimental and human trafficking reasons, will now just be transferred to this other list. This is the medical list. These people have FBI contractors following them and trying to provoke them with other contractors nearby in order to create a false narrative about them. FISA is hiding this experimentation, the FISA court. It is all being hidden by FISA. Until you write about targeted individuals, non-investigative subjects, and talk to these victims, I won't believe that you are anything but yet another fake something or other being paid to control the narrative. And then this is E. Cody, C-O-A-D-Y. And then he wrote after that, he said, you ignore the crux of the story. And these are great articles by Whitney Webb, extremely informative. But she doesn't bring up the targeted individual phenomenon, which is at the core of it, as he says. Americans are being non-consensually experimented on and tortured in DARPA, DOD brain and weapons experiments for the profits of private individuals, technocrats and academics and oligarchs. A federal judge ruled the terrorist watch list unconstitutional in September. All subjects of these experiments, dubbed non-investigative subjects, are already smeared as mentally ill and under surveillance in their homes. This new effort is a way to transfer these victims to the most heinous government abuses from one list, now ruled unconstitutional, to this new mental health watch list to further persecute these victims of the most heinous crimes. This is the second time I'm posting about this. You removed the previous comment. The last American vagabond, Whitney Webb, is yet another controlled outlet.
Thank you, Eric. I've got to jump in because we've only got literally about 3 minutes left, so I want to get our last song in called Stalking USA. So I'll mute us both again, and folks, here you go, Stalking USA.
When everybody has an iPhone across the USA, then everybody will be stalking USA. We'll all be wearing dark glasses and black apparel too. We'll be stalking our neighbors, stalking USA. We'll be stalking down in Phoenix, So watch County 2, LA up to Frisco, the San Diego Zoo, and all the big box stores and local businesses too. Everybody's gone stalking, stalking USA. We take orders from our iPhones, harassing targets for pay. We play the roles that they give us and do street theater all day. We'll all be gone for the summer, burning up fossil fuels. Tell the sheriff we're stalking, stalking USA. Up in Illinois too, all over the UK, up in Canada too. We're stalking in Reno and all over LA. Everybody's gone stalking, stalking USA. Everybody's gone stalking, stalking USA. Everybody's gone stalking, stalking USA.
Fantastic, Eric. Very, very good. That was a great rendition. It's a shame, of course. It's quite a sad subject. But you've got 1 minute, so please wrap it up.
Well, I guess, you know, we all need to find our spiritual core. We're moving into uncharted territories as a world. We've been taken over, I believe, and we know who did it. We've been talking about this. You've been talking about the synagogue of Satan and writing about it for a long, long time. We've been taken over by the synagogue of Satan. And of course, they're satanic. So this is very bad news for human beings everywhere. So please pray to God. Please keep rowing to shore. Don't let him take you anywhere out of your house. If you've got a house, you're lucky, I guess. These are very troubling times, and I certainly hope we get a chance to talk next month, Andy. But you never know. Now we're in uncharted territory here. Our nations are no longer really protecting us, I don't think. Our constitutions have been thrown out. And we're now into a whole nother world, a new regime, a Bolshevik revolution for the world.
Thank you very much, Eric. Fantastic show as always, and certainly I'll be booking a show in with Eric, and we pray that we're able to do that. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Eric so much for joining me today. I will, of course, be back with you tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.